This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
We continue our sermon series in the Psalms this summer with One Voice as we sing together. Part of this is just helping us as a church family transition into our one worship setting. And so I find that helpful for us. Psalm 138 is going to be helpful for us in a lot of ways. Our current cultural climate in this country is varied towards Christianity. There are people that would say that that we should remove the word God from our Pledge of Allegiance because there are people that want to try to take away any kind of religious undertones or overtones from anything that we do in the public sector. This is our current climate. Also, there are people that would say that if you're a Christian, that you're not fit for public service, like, because you can't connect or serve all people because you're a Christian. And as a Reformed Christian, we know that this is not true. We know that all that we do wholeheartedly, whether it's financial advising or whether it's politics or nursing or teaching, whatever we do to the Lord. And so, but there are these pressures that are out there. And that's just here in our country, and globally, of course, there are attacks on the church around the world. And so we live in an environment where there are real outward pressure towards the Christian faith. And those are just some of the fears. And then some of the fears that we struggle with is in our own personal lives are more internal struggles. Like, you think about America, we have the best medical care in the entire world, basically, but we still live in fear of heart disease, cancer, food allergies, things like that. I think those are things that we all walk daily with in fear. And so this psalm this morning, Psalm 138, is going to help us to face those fears and to deal with those fears. David faced many of the same challenges, and he was able to sing praise to the Lord through it all. And we face many of these same challenges, not as kings, but as people here at Woodland Presbyterian Church that we, and part of our American culture, we face a lot of these challenges. And so our goal would be that we would be encouraged to live our lives and to praise the Lord wholeheartedly. And the Psalm 138 is going to teach us to do that this morning. So if you're able, please stand with me and we will read Psalm 138 together. Of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father God, I pray that you would Open our eyes to your beauty. Unstop our ears to your goodness. And clear out our hearts so that we might be wholeheartedly yours. I pray that you would do that through the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I grew up in California, and I went to college in California, and it was kind of a mountainous region. And so back when I was in college a long time ago, bungee jumping became the fun thing to do. And so in Chico, there was a town called Paradise. I know y'all have probably heard of it because it recently burned. But there was a river that ran through there, and there was a train trestle bridge that went over that river. And so that's where people would go bungee jumping. And it was a 300-foot drop over a river. And so so this was what we thought was fun. So we would go, there was a company that would go and attach the bungee to the train trestle, and they actually had spotters because it was a real train track. So they had to have spotters watching for the train, and we would run out when the train wasn't coming, and you'd get all geared up to go, and you'd have to, you know, put your harness on, and you'd attach the bungees, and then, you know, do your safety checks and things like that, and then you get to the edge of the bridge, and it's time to jump, and they would give you a five count, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, woohoo! And you go, right? You're all in wholeheartedly. You go, and if you don't go wholeheartedly, then you're gonna get hurt, right? Because if you kind of go halfway, then you could get your leg caught on the bridge or something and go hurt. You have to go all in, and that's what David is doing. In the very beginning of this psalm, he is going all in, all out. He says, right in the first verse, he says, "I give you thanks," which is in this psalm, thanks and praise are interchangeable in this psalm. So he says, "I give you thanks, praise, O Lord, with my whole heart." And he's jumping in, and it's an active jumping in. And so he's going all in on the praise. And this is what he's calling us to do. It's sort of like if you think of ice cream for a child, right? And you've got all the toppings out there. You've got nuts and chocolate chips and cherries and whipped cream. You know, what is a child going to do? When you give them a bowl of ice cream, you say, go ahead and put the toppings on there, right? They're just going to pile it on, right? You know, they're not going to go one little nut and one little cherry and a little bit of whipped cream, you know, they're just gonna pile it on. And that's what David is saying right here. He's saying, I'm all in, I'm wholeheartedly in for the Lord, and he's just piling it on. And I know I struggle with being wholehearted for the Lord all the time. Don't you? Can I get an amen? I know that we often struggle with that. And especially when it comes to our public worship, we all want to be like that. We want to be wholehearted in our worship, and we want to be all in. We want to be like the kid who's just piling stuff on. And like I said, I know I struggle with that, and I'm sure y'all do too. And so Psalm 138 hopefully is going to help us lead to that point to where we are going to be wholehearted. We're going to be jumping all the way in our worship. And I want to work through Psalm 138 with three questions. And the first question is, so how does David show us how to be all in and have wholehearted praise? How does David show us how to be all in and have wholehearted praise? Continuing with verse 1, it says that he was singing praises before the gods. Before the gods. And verse 2 says that he was bowing down toward the holy temple. So he was bold in his worship before people who believed in different gods. But yet he was humble. He humbled himself and bowed down toward the holy temple, which represented the dwelling place of God. So if we are to be people who worship wholeheartedly, We need to be bold and humble. Bold and humble. We need to show our boldness by making sure that we are continuing to gather for public worship, no matter who is watching. And especially if people who are hostile toward our faith are watching, and we need to be humble, and we need to be humble toward the Lord. So bold in our faith, but humble toward the Lord. Remembering it is the one true God that we are worshiping, and it's not a performance. So a biblical example of this is when Paul and Silas were imprisoned. They had been preaching about Jesus, and the local authorities put them in prison, and they beat them, and then they were not deterred. They were in shackles, and they were in prison, and the word says at midnight they began singing and praying, and they were singing hymns and praying. And of course, y'all know the story. The Lord sends an earthquake, and Paul and Silas are freed, and the jailer goes to kill himself because he figures the prisoners are not there. But they had stayed, and the Philippian jailer says to them, you know, what must I do to be saved? And so through their singing and praying and their faithfulness and their wholeheartedly being sold out for Jesus, the Philippian jailer, of course, with the Holy Spirit's help, becomes a Christian, becomes a follower of Christ. So his wholehearted faithfulness in that leads to that. And in my life, I didn't grow up as a Christian. I grew up we didn't do anything. We were basically, I would be the picture definition of secular. We didn't talk about religion. We didn't pray. We didn't do anything like that in my house. But my dad's best friend, a man I've referred to before, a guy named Brian Jones, I kind of view him as my godfather. We would go camping together. My dad is not a Christian, but this guy, Brian, is a Christian, and he would live out his faith wholeheartedly, no matter where we were. So we would go backpacking, and we were in Yosemite, and we would set up our tents, and we would be camping. We'd sit around the fire, and we'd be talking, and he'd say, he wouldn't even really say anything. He'd say, I got to do something. And he would go to his tent and get his Bible, and he would bring it out to the campfire, and he would sit there and do his quiet time, and he would read his Bible, and then he would pray, and then he would put it away and carry on. And he never, ever once, preached at me or said, you need to do this or do that. He just lived his faith wholeheartedly. And I was able to spend some time with him while I was in college at his house, and they always prayed before meals. They would always go to church on Sundays, so I was able to see his witness, but he never once pressured me into becoming a Christian. He never said, you need to do that. He lived his faith wholeheartedly, and no matter who was watching or what was going on, his best friend was a non-believer, and he did what he knew he needed to do. He lived his faith in front of him. And of course, that whole thing reminds us of Andrew Brunson, whom we prayed for a lot last year, a pastor in Turkey, and he was a political prisoner. He was jailed for his faith. He had been pastoring in Turkey for 20 years, and they basically, said, because you're a Christian, you're going to go to jail. But he did not relent. He lived out his faith. And as a matter of fact, not only did he sing hymns in prison, but he wrote hymns in prison. So his wholehearted praise of the Lord was not deterred. Now, I'm sure he's confessed, obviously, that he struggled with his faith during that time. But what helped power him through that was, the singing the hymns and the prayers and just trusting in the Lord in all of that. And so so what does that mean for us? It means that we, as Christians, we need to continue to be faithful to our faith, faithful to Jesus, and live out our faith no matter where we are. If you're at, Los Delicias, and you're sitting around, and you're in a room full of people, and it's time to eat. Well, do we bow and pray or not? Because people are watching. What should we do? Well, I would commend that, you know, you need to be bold and humble, right? Remember, humble yourself before the Lord and be bold in your faith. And if you don't do that, if you think about it, the reverse of that is being prideful, right? Because if you don't do that, you're being prideful, that you think, well, I don't need to bow before the Lord, and I'm worried about what other people think. So just an encourager. I'm speaking to myself too, because I have that feeling often when you're in a big public setting and you're like, well, do I do it now or not? Just remember, you know, you're bowing before the Lord of the universe. Humble yourself before the Lord and be bold in your witness, because you don't know who's watching. Because you know people are watching, and oftentimes when I'm faithful in that, people will come up later and go, hey, I noticed you prayed, thanks for doing that. And I'll do that to people too if I see them, you know, hey, you know, we're Christians too, and encourage one another in that. So those are outside pressures. I also want to touch on some inside pressures. When we think about our hearts are often divided by sin. So that if our heart is full of pride, lust, greed, and envy, then we are not able to wholeheartedly praise the Lord. Have you ever heard the expression that a person is sold out for Jesus? That means that they are wholeheartedly in for Jesus. So every distraction is out and nothing but Jesus is in. So I know that I struggle with that, being wholehearted, half-hearted. So we need to confess our sin and seek the Lord and be wholehearted. And we need to remember the reason for that is because Jesus was sold out for you and me. He lived the perfect life that we can't live, and he died the horrible death that we deserve. And he did it for us. He was sold out for you and me when he bowed down in the garden and said, Father, take this cup from me. He was sold out for you and me when he endured the nails on the cross and cried out, it is finished. What if Jesus was half-hearted? What if he only died on the cross for half of the people? Jesus laid down his life wholeheartedly for you and for me and all of those people that he would call to himself. For John 3:16 reminds us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus wholeheartedly died for you and conquered death for you and me, and through his work on the cross has engrafted us into the family of God. You are part of God's family, not just halfway in, all the way in. He brought you wholeheartedly in. Now, some of you probably have family walls, like family picture walls. We have one in our house where if you're part of the family, then you're on the wall, and that's a really cool thing. And it's great when you go somewhere and you see your picture on the wall, because you go, yeah, I'm part of the family. Well, God's word says that if you're a follower of Christ, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, that your name is written in the book of life, which means basically your picture's on the wall. So when you get to heaven, your picture's there. Like, he's preparing a place for you. And he didn't do it halfway. He did it all the way, wholeheartedly. Now, the second question for us this morning is, how did David get to that point? How did David get to the point of worshiping the Lord wholeheartedly? So how did David get there? Verse 3 reminds us that the Lord answers his prayers and strengthens his soul. Let's look at verse 3 a little bit closer. David is remembering a day when he called out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. The Lord answered him. So I don't know about you, but I don't really answer my phone anymore. And my kids don't even answer the door anymore, because it's usually just Amazon or UPS, right? They just ring and run. And so we don't even answer the door anymore. But the Lord, the word is saying here that the Lord answered prayer, and he still does, brothers and sisters. He still does. And so we need to call out to the Lord in prayer whenever we need Whenever we are facing a serious challenge, we need to call out to the Lord. He answers prayer. This verse continues, and it says, My strength of soul you increased. My strength of soul you increased. So this is the ESV that we're looking at, but the NIV version says that when I called, you answered me, and you made me bold and stout-hearted. You made me bold and stout-hearted. So I like the NIV translation here because it highlights the heart theme that we've got going here, this wholeheartedness. So David prays, the Lord answers, and David's heart is filled. He's stout-hearted. Our heart is a great way of describing how we feel. Sometimes we feel faint-hearted. Sometimes we feel broken-hearted. Sometimes we feel full-hearted. Sometimes we feel heartless, cold-hearted, scared-hearted. David is telling us through this psalm that when he cried out to God with a weak heart, that God answered and gave him a stout heart. One commentator describes it like this: David experienced an awareness of strength in his soul. Have you ever been faced with a challenge that caused you to feel weak-hearted? Not something fun like bungee jumping, but something scary like cancer or death of a loved one. David was faced with real life and death issues, and he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord answered, and the Lord filled his heart in a tangible way so that he could feel the strength from God. Do you feel weak-hearted? Cry out to the Lord and ask him for a stout heart. Is there something you need to do or say, but you've been putting it off? It's too much. You just don't have the heart to do it. Pray to the Lord. Ask him for strength, and he will answer your prayer. Additionally, I want to answer this. How did David get to the point of worshiping the Lord wholeheartedly? How did he get there? Again, verse 7 reminds us that though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. Verse 7 says, you preserve my life. Now, recently on the news, I was just clicking on the news real quick, and I saw one little blurb. I didn't really follow up on it too much, but it said there was a debate over a man who wanted to, when he died, he wanted to have his head frozen and preserved. And I thought, that is so bizarre. But he wanted to preserve himself. And I think it stems from that whole fear we want to last forever. And the reality is that we are mortal. We don't last forever. And we've had some sad reminders of this the last few weeks at Woodland and in Memphis. A dear friend from Independent Prez was murdered 2 weeks ago. And he was in his late 50s, and just really, really sad. And then there was a 13-year-old volleyball player that was in a car accident recently that passed away. And so there's this desire that we have to preserve our lives. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, we live in a world where sin and death is real. And so we need to seek the Lord who truly preserves our lives. And I think Paul speaks to this issue of life and death, and I find it really helpful because it's a question that's been brought to my attention by a young person in my life. And they said to me, well, what if I die, before I, turn 18? Or what if I die before I get married? Or what if I said, and I said to them, I said, if you're in Christ, then you are preserved. You are safe. If you're in Christ, you'll be in glory no matter what age you are when you die. And so Paul also addresses this issue in Philippians. He says, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, so just try to track with me. It says, Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul is writing this in prison, and he knows that at any time he could be executed for his faith, this sort of thing. But he knows that to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so he knows his life is preserved. He says it again in Romans 14. He says, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. So we don't need to worry about getting frozen. We don't need to worry about that kind of stuff. We don't need to worry about diseases that are coming after us. We don't need to worry about bombings and things like that, because if we're in Christ, then we are preserved. We are in the Lord. And Scripture speaks to the fact that he wants us to live wholeheartedly, right? He doesn't want us to live in fear. The Lord has taken off the chains of fear, and he gives us a wholeheartedness in all that we do, whether it's praising the Lord or whether it's doing our occupation or whether it's caring for our families. Whatever we do, we can do it in the Lord. And the last question this morning is, how do you know that God cares for you? How do you know that God cares for you? And I love the way this psalm, as we wrap up the psalm finishes off in verse 8, and it ties everything together. And it says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. And the final statement says, do not forsake the work of your hands. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And so the verb there that says, do not forsake the work of your hands, it's jussive, which doesn't mean a whole lot probably to y'all, but verse 4 and 5 have the same verb tense, and it basically what it's saying is that it shall happen. If you look at verse 4 and 5, it shall happen, and it's saying that as in the Lord, the Lord shall not abandon the work of his hands. And so it's saying all this is tying it all together and saying everything comes together, and the Lord loves you, and he will preserve you, and everything is going to work out for his glory, because the Lord is not going to leave you and not going to forsake you. The Lord preserves our lives. He defends our lives. He delivers our lives. He fulfills his purpose for our lives, and he will not abandon us in our time of need. So no matter what you're facing this week, this year, or what you have been through in the past year, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And the purpose that he has for your life is being fulfilled. You see, we aren't promised a life filled with no struggles and no death and no disease because of the fall. That is the life that we are promised. But in the midst of the struggle and death and disease, we see the hand of God delivering us. We see the hands of God delivering us. You see, the Lord sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to walk through the pain of this life. And he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to heal the diseases of sin. And he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to conquer death once and for all. So if you feel lowly and faint-hearted this morning, cry out to Jesus, God's one and only Son, and he will fill your heart with courage to face all you are facing. He will heal you from all your sin. He will take you by the hand and conquer death for you. Let us sing praise to the Lord, because the victory belongs to Jesus. And if we are in Christ, then we have won the battle. Recently, I had the opportunity to go tubing. So, you know, tubing, you go behind a boat, and you get a tube on the back. And one of my children was with me, and they got kind of caught up in the tube, and they were underneath the tube, and they were kind of struggling, and we didn't really notice it at first. And so all of a sudden we look up and you know, one of my children is like gasping for air and struggling. And so this particular child wanted to come in back into the boat, and the boat driver, who has lots and lots of experience with working with children and people who get scared in the water and things like that, the boat driver goes up to this particular child, and he grabs him by the face, and he holds him close, and he gets right up to him, and he says, "Don't worry." He says, "I've been doing this a long time, and I've never lost anyone, and you're gonna be fine. Now get back out there and go for it." And so this particular child said, "Okay," and he jumped back out there and went for it. But this is what Psalm 138 is saying to us this morning, brothers and sisters. Psalm 138 is drawing us close to the Lord, and it's saying Psalm 138 is saying to us that the Lord has us. The Lord has us. Jesus Christ wholeheartedly went to the cross for us, and we are preserved in Christ. So no matter what we're facing, we can get back out there and give it our whole heart. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.